Blog Talk Radio.
And now the Chief International Ambassador, Chief Ambassador Dr. Bernard Johnson.
God bless you. And thank you for all your new people who are on the line. It's such a blessing. I appreciate you. I'm just asking you to abide by the rules. A lot of times people don't realize that when you're in bed, many of you who are in bed this early in the morning, and you move, the sheets off your phone, that's very noisy on the line. And some of you may be reading, and you got paper, you rattle by the phone. That's very noisy. If you're turning pages, if you're doing this. So if you would, just set yourself. Just like right now, somebody's moving right now. That causes noise. Amen. I love you, but that's my job. Trying to keep order on the phone. And I bless the Lord through you. Glad to have you. Amen. Let me just have a word of prayer. And hopefully, while I'm praying this prayer, I'm a man of faith. I believe God can do anything but fail. So if you have a problem, if you have a sickness or a problem or whatever, I believe God can fix it for you. Why don't you, in your heart and your mind, place it before the Lord. And let's see what the Lord does. Amen. And then give the anointing time to work. Just give him time to work. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be right on time if you give him time to work. Let's go to God in prayer. I know everybody reverences God and respects the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Heavenly Father, the one who takes care of all your children. Who's concerned about your children? Oh, my God, the one who's concerned about everyone that children, their children, and any problems that they go through. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you and glorify you. You're the best father anybody could ever have. Joy in the morning, peace at night. Oh, God, you got so many blessings and so many benefits by just being your child. And your children. We just praise you, Lord. You fix things when we don't even recognize that you fix them. When we have problems and ask you about them and even go on and leave them in your hands before we know it, the problem is solved. And we have to try to figure out, now, when did that happen? Because you're so faithful and so wonderful and so just. We appreciate you, Lord. We glory in you. May I say this to you, Lord? You are our hero. Yeah, you are a hero. We don't have no American idols. No, you are our hero. And we don't worship anybody but you. You're the only true and living God. And God, we are so delighted that you allow your children to come unto you. All you that are labor and heavy laden, and you will give them rest. And God, you give peace and joy and love and hope, and become our shepherd, our leader, and our guider, and our faith and hope and charity. You become our inspiration and jubilation, master, maker, molder, and shape. Everything we have is in you. And all of our investments are in you. And we invest in you because even though there are many kind of investments down here on this earth, God, when you bless us down here, God, we invest in you because we want to have an investment in heaven. Thank you for it. Now bless the folks here, oh God, who come to give you glory and give you praise and adoration. Lord, look on them. Solve every problem. Fix every situation. Lift them up when they're falling down. Give them grace and give them glory. In the name of Jesus, make a way out of no way in Jesus' mighty name. And we'll give you the glory and the praise shall be coming therefore unto you, Lord, because you're the one who has done all of this for your people. Oh, my God, you're so good to your people. I just thank you for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, forgive us for every sin of omission. Things that we should have done that we haven't got accomplished yet. Every sin of commission, things that we have done that we should not have done. Forgive us, Lord, every thought, every deed, that we did. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for your forgiveness and for your blessing. We ask that you take control of the line. Amen. And that you let the Holy Ghost lead us and guide us, even as we shall try to bring this message that you gave that is so heavy. Oh, my God, it comes from you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, bless your people, and we'll bless you back. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. I hope y'all are awake. Oh, don't let sleep catch you. Don't let him get you. He doesn't want you to praise the Lord this morning. He wants you to keep being distracted and everything else. Let's speak. Good morning. Good morning to all of y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
God bless you. Good morning to you. And let's speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord.
Let's give him praise, y'all. Has it been good for you? Do you recognize his goodness and kindness? Let's give him praise. God, we thank you. Why is it that you're bringing this, and why is it so important? Well, I explain it like this. Excuse me. Some time ago, I made the statement on the live that the enemy is trying to kill off all of the seniors, as many as he possibly can. He doesn't want them around. He doesn't want them around. And here it comes. Why? Why didn't he want the seniors around? Because they have been down the roads that the enemy has led them down, and they have learned secrets of the enemy. And these seniors that I'm talking to, you hear me right now, you know so many secrets of the devil, the enemy, and he doesn't want you to reveal his secrets. Why? Because you help the younger generation not to go down the roads that the enemy is trying to lead them down. And so consequently, he doesn't want you around. That's why the propaganda, notice the propaganda in America and all around the world is against basically seniors. It's not calling the old folks or seniors, whatever. It's not calling their names because he doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know what he's doing. But he's trying, everything is about the young people, the youth. Why? Because they don't know nothing. I just dropped a bombshell on you. Did you get it? They don't know nothing. And he tries to attack people who don't know nothing. And I could say they don't know anything, but I'm trying to get this over to you in a more stronger way. They don't know nothing. And so he wants to come against you, the seniors of God, and get you out of here because he doesn't want you telling the younger people the secrets of the devil, the secrets of the enemy. And so this is important. The same principle I'm using here on this message today. God wants you to know something about what the enemy is doing. Why? Because knowledge is power. It's power of God. It's power in the Holy Ghost. When you know what the enemy who comes against you is trying to do and how he's trying to do it, it will give you power in the Holy Ghost. So I hope you get that. I want to read this again of what Satan was doing in heaven. And see, you can't really understand what the enemy is doing down here until you try to understand what happened in heaven. Because the enemy is trying to repeat and do the tactics that he did up yonder when he was in heaven on us down here. I hope you caught that. He's trying to use the same stuff that he used in heaven and even more down here because, you know, we're more vulnerable. But he's trying to use the same stuff down here that he did in heaven. Let me show you this in Revelation 12th chapter. How many of y'all, well, I hope the answer is everybody on the line, believes in the word of God? Amen. And it says here in the 12th chapter, get your Bibles if you got them around you. Well, you understand what I'm trying to say. Get your Bibles and read this chapter 12. I'm reading in the King James, so y'all will know that this is the real Bible. All right, here we go. I'm trying to read it the best I can with the light that I have. And there appeared a great woman in heaven. Now, let me say this to you before I begin. You got to understand, Revelation is a book of symbolism, and you gotta look beyond the words and ask God to reveal what he's saying to you in the book of Revelation, because it's in symbol. And there appeared a great woman. No, excuse me. I'm trying to read this again. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Yeah, wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and up on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child. Now, who you think is talking about here? Symbolism. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared, watch this, a wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon her or his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, who y'all think that is? Those are the heavenly bodies of heaven. He influenced. He overcame them. He brought them close to him. And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven, the heavenly bodies. You might say, if we were talking about earth, the people of the earth, he drew them closer to him. He overcame them. He influenced them. Yeah. What did he influence them to do? He influenced them to worship him. And he drew 1/3 of them. See, let me put this on your plate like this. I don't know how many people were in heaven, or heavenly bodies were there. But say, for example, there were 1,000, which are probably more, maybe 10,000. But let's take 1,000. If he drew them to him, 1/3 of them would be 333 out of 1,000 people. Now, the way you realize how significant that is you go to your church. If you got If you had 1,000 people in your church and 333 of them decided that they weren't going to follow you anymore, they're going to follow the devil, that would be a significant, significant part of your church. Amen. Now, what happened? He drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. In other words, these bodies in heaven, these people in heaven, listened to the devil, and they got kicked out and were cast down out of heaven, and they fell to the earth. Now, and the dragon stood before the woman. Now, the woman, I believe here, was Mary here, because it says up here in the first part I read it, when there appeared a great woman, not a great wonder in heaven. Here's a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head is a crown of 12 stars. This, the sun and the moon under her feet, except it says that she has greatly been chosen. This woman has the favor of God on her. That's what it says. She has such favor that the moon under her feet and the sun, yeah, she's got favor of God, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. All right, that's talking about those 12 stars. I believe it's talking about the 12 in the Bible that really you find most of the Old Testament written about, you know, the sons of Jacob and et cetera. But it gives historicity of that also. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth. Now let's go back to where we were. And she brought forth a man child. This is verse 5. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, in other words, he was to take a rod of iron. This is talking about the earth now. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, who is that? That's Jesus, caught unto God, up to his throne. Okay. And the woman fled into the wilderness. We see the historicity of that in Matthew. It's that the devil was trying to kill him because he was going to be what? He was going to be over all of the earth. He was going to rule with a rod of iron. And the devil was jealous. A jealous thing. And the woman fled. Why did she flee? Because the devil was trying to kill her child. She fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,234 days. 2.5 years. If you look at Matthew, I believe you'll find that corresponding how Mary and Joseph fled when Jesus was born. They fled into the wilderness. They went to Egypt. Why? Because the enemy was trying to kill Jesus. Amen. And they stayed there about 2.5 years. Except. But now let me get to where I'm going here. Verse 9, this is the 12th chapter of Revelation. Verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out. Now, this is where you find that when you're describing what the enemy is doing, it's all right use the name describing him, the devil, because it says, and the great dragon was cast out. And we don't use the devil's name to get him glory. I normally say the enemy, so now I'm preaching here. I want you to know who I'm talking about. The enemy I'm talking about is described here in the 9th verse, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, then it tells you even more so who we're talking about, called the devil. It's right here in the 9th verse. And Satan. When I say Satan, when I say the enemy, I'm talking about the enemy, the devil, the Satan, which deceived the whole world. What world are we talking about? Yeah, he was trying to deceive all of heaven. And now he's trying to deceive all the earth, everybody on earth. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And some of y'all think the devil is by himself, you fools. he got angels. Demonic angels on assignment. Satan has them. It says it right here. And his angels were cast out with him. He got He got angels, demonic angels working with him. In verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. In other words, one of the tactics that he was using in heaven was to try to come and accuse. That's where all this gossip comes from. That's where other things that are accusing you of this or that, and you ain't even guilty of this or that, comes from. But he was cast down, which is the accuser of them before our God. And how long does he do it? He's relentless. He does it day and night, as he in the 10th verse. And they overcame him. Now see, this is the part we want to really relish on right here. They overcame it. The devil, no matter what he tries to do, he's going to be defeated. He is defeated through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is overcome already. See, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he has all power in God's hand, amen, in his hand. And he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus went to Calvary. Yeah, I tell you, in Isaiah, the first chapter, where they were sacrificing all types of animals for the sins of man. God got tired of all that mess. So many animals had to die because there were so many sins of man. And God said, I got to have one sacrifice once and for all. And that is through Jesus Christ. And the word, let me just read here and finish here because I got to get down here. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Yeah. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Who is that? Me and you. Woe to us. Oh, my God. There is a word to us that says, be careful. Woe. Look out. Amen. Oh, my God. This same devil who has arrogance. See, that's why I tell y'all that if you look at anybody who's arrogant, you will find that satanic power is working through them. Why? Because it's what the enemy used in heaven. Woe be into the habits of the earth and of the sea. Mm-hmm. Why? For the devil has come down into you. See, the same tactics that he used in heaven, he's come down here to use to us. Has the devil been changed? No, no, no. If he was bold enough and shrewd enough and manipulated enough to control people in heaven, then he believes that he's able and has enough power and is shrewd enough to control people down here. Now, what tactics is he going to use on the people down here? He didn't change. He's using the same tactics that he tried to use up in heaven. Oh, God, I hope y'all are getting this. I'm asking you again, what tactics is the devil using on the people down there or trying to use on us? He's trying to use the same tactics that he used up in heaven on God. I just read this word to you. I didn't make this up. This is not a story. I read this to you out of the Bible, straight out of the Bible. So, say, Satan was in heaven, and he overcame or he drew or he controlled the minds after a while of one-third of the heavenly hosts. Now, put a pin right there. Let me go to Matthew real quick here. He overcame one-third of the heavenly hosts. Now, I want you to go to Matthew 24 and I believe 24. Let me find it here for you. He overcame one-third of people. How are you going to get people who have eternal life? How are you going to get people where there's a tree for the healing of the nation? How are you going to get people who have all joy and peace? And they got wealth everywhere because you got streets paved of gold. You got pearly gates. You got happiness everywhere. How are you going to get people who experience in heaven the most phenomenal place ever made by God in the history of anything? How are you going to get them to walk away from God and start worshiping Satan? How are you going to do that? Well, let me read this, and I'm going to tell you in just a moment. It says here in Matthew 24 and yeah, 24 and 24. It says here, for there shall arise false Christ. In other words, false Christ, people who are trying to have the power like Christ, who are arrogant, thinking that they deserve to be where Christ is on that level. False Christ, preaching false doctrines. Yeah. And false prophets, giving false prophecies. Talking about, yeah, you're going to get a mink coat. Just if you give $100, God said you're going to get a mink coat. Give $100, God said you're going to get a new car. All those kind of things, you know. But there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Don't think that they don't have power. They're going to show great signs and wonders. Now, here's what I'm trying to get. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive. Oh, my God. I'm not reading this right. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Yeah. See, you got to be careful that the enemy can deceive the very elect. Why? Go back to heaven. He was up in heaven. He deceived one third of the heavenly host. And he believes that if I got one third of the heavenly host, I can get them all down here on earth. See, you got to understand that. So the enemy, now I want to ask y'all to use your intellect, use your common sense. If the devil deceived one third of the folks up in heaven or the heavenly bodies, how did he do it? I want you to ask. Remember, see, the Lord had me to teach that message to the people on the line, how to recognize the real voice of God. And one of the things that you recognize God's voice is you ask questions. Why would the Lord say this? Why would the Lord do that? He didn't do it. So you know it's the devil. So ask the question here. How did Satan get one third of the folks who had everything to change their minds and follow him? I suggest to you that he used witchcraft. See, that's, I'm coming in to where I'm going now. He used witchcraft. Now, what is witchcraft? See, you got to ask the questions to really walk down this road, and you got to pull out your spirit. See, if you're in the carnal this morning, if you're in the natural, you will not be able to understand this message because it's in the spirit realm. You've got to have to move in the spirit realm to try to understand it at all. So how are you going to get one third of the heavenly host to leave God and forsake God and then start worshiping you? I'm beautiful. Oh, I can sing. I'm the one y'all ought to be worshiping. How are you going to get them to do that? I suggest to you through witchcraft. Now, when I mention that word, a lot of people get scared. Don't be afraid of nothing that the devil's doing. God has all power. And if you look at the 23rd chapter of Numbers, it tells you that don't worry about Satan casting those spells and trying to curse you, because he can't curse whom God has blessed. It tells you that in the 23rd chapter of Numbers, and around the 20th verse, somewhere around there, down in there. But he came, Balak asked Balaam to curse the people of God. Balaam said, I can't curse whom God has blessed. I can't do it. I don't care how much gold and silver you want to give me. I cannot do it. I cannot curse God's people because God has blessed them. And whom God has blessed can no man curse. Amen. So now, here up in heaven, how do you see witchcraft in the church now? You have to look at what happened in heaven to really see what's happening down here. Because the same devil that was in heaven has been kicked out. And it says, woe be to the inhabitants. I want to read that in the 12th verse of the 12th chapter. It says, therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in heaven. Woe, here's the woe, woe be to the inhabitants of the earth, of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. He got power. He's angry, great anger, great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now I want to talk about this witchcraft in the church. See, Some of y'all think the church originated down here. It didn't originate. I normally used to think that it originated here, over there, when the children of Israel came out of the wilderness. They became God's people, and they became God's church. That's wonderful. Thank God. And they were a part of the church of God. But now let's go back to heaven. In a church, you have people, a body of believers who are believing in the Lord. Amen. And then you've got a leader. Amen. And that leader is to lead them into the doctrine of what God preaches. Amen. The doctrine of Jesus Christ, that he came and he lived here and healed the sick and raised the dead, went to Calvary and died and rose on the third day. See, but what I'm trying to show you is the church body was in heaven. Yeah. The leader, God himself, and the heavenly bodies were his people, you might say, but they were heavenly bodies, but they were the followers of God. And see, in order to understand witchcraft, what's happening down you, and I'm getting ready to drop some stuff on y'all, so get ready here. But in order to understand witchcraft and what's happening in the church, you got to understand the church up in heaven. God was the leader, and he still is the leader. You understand what I'm saying? But the church was his people, his heavenly bodies that he made. And he made them to worship him, not to worship Satan, but to worship him. But the enemy wanted to gain control of heaven. He wanted to take over. What is that? Immediately, you know that that's arrogance, that he wanted to be on God's level. See, that's why when I talk about God and what makes him God, I even go there, because it reveals unto us things about God that are unseen. What about God? What makes him God? One of the main things that makes God God is that he is the creator. Now, look at yourself and all around everybody you know. Who you know that created anything? I tell that funny story about that scientist that wanted to be God. And he challenged God. Said, God, wherever you are, come on. I want to challenge you. I just cloned the man. You talking about you made man. I just cloned the man. And I want to challenge you. And God said, well, challenge, what's the challenge? He said, whoever can make man first can be God now. God said, let me understand. You saying whoever makes God first, man first can be God? He said, yeah. Scientist said, yeah. And he said, all right. And the scientist says, let's, when I say go, we go. On the mark, get ready, get set, go. And the scientist reached down to get some dirt to do his clone the man. And God said, wait, just a minute. And the scientist said, what is it, God? He said, wait, you got to get your own dirt. See, ain't nothing in this earth that has not been made by God. And I keep on telling y'all that God not only made the good, but God made the evil. You look in Genesis 2 and 9, and it's talking in symbolism too on trees. But he made not only the good, but he made the evil. And so the enemy is angry because he can't be on God's level, because everything has been already made. He can't make nothing. And see, there lies one of the keys, one of the great keys to why to a question that a lot of people have and they don't understand it. What is the question? Why is it that men try to be homosexuals and women try to be lesbians? Because you have to understand the principle that the devil was so angry, and the devil was trying to be God, and he couldn't be God because God had made everything. So what has he tried to do? He has tried to alter. Since he can't make nothing, he tries to alter everything. And excuse my tone. I'm not trying to fuss at y'all. Some people confuse me with trying to do that. I'm not trying to do that. It's just that I'm adamant about what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to teach. The devil can't make nothing. He can't create nothing. It's already been created. Look in John 1:1. Yeah, everything that was made by God, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost were there when it was made. All three of them were together. See, the devil can't make nothing, so he's angry. And so since he can't make nothing, he's trying to alter everything. That's his tactic. I can't make it. I got to alter. So he tells a man, he said, you ain't supposed to be. He did it just like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, God said, the day that you eat of the tree in the midst of that garden, you're going to die. And the devil comes, oh, you ain't going to die when you eat that tree. He just don't want you to eat of it because he knows you're going to get knowledge just like him. See, he comes to alter. He comes to deceive, comes to alter everything. Man who was created by God to be a real man, he comes to tell the man, oh, you know what? You ain't no real man. You really a woman in a man's body. And then all of a sudden you got a Caitlin because the enemy comes to defeat. See, he tells a woman, well, to be for no man. You like women. You're supposed to like women. And see, one of the greatest days for the enemy ever in the history of the world was when, if I can think of the names here, was when Madonna and that other, I can't think of her name, but they kissed on nationwide television. And when they kissed, it went across the world. That's why you got all these teenage girls and even girls in college. They're trying to like women, you know, kissing women and everything like that, because the enemy is trying to alter everything that God has done. Now, what did God do down here? He created the church, came from heaven. And the enemy has been trying to alter everything in the church ever. Anything that's good, the enemy is trying to alter it because he wants to be God and he can't create nothing. So he's trying to alter everything. Even take it with fruit. You got an apple. He want to alter it and make it all kind of apples. You got 10, 15 types of apples now because he was jealous. He didn't want the apple to be just like it was originally. I hope y'all are understanding me. So let's get to this witchcraft in the church. Look at what happened in heaven. Here's the devil, the enemy, up in heaven, wanting to be God. Couldn't be God. Convinced one-third of God's people. Now, how you do that? Ask questions. How did the enemy convince one-third of God's people in heaven, on God's heavenly bodies, to lead him, to forsake him, and start worshiping the enemy? How could they do that? I suggest that he use witchcraft. And what is witchcraft? It is the ability of any evil body to use influence on the minds of the people to gain control of what they're doing or what they do. What had happened in heaven? Here's the enemy using mind control, trying to do things to control their mind in order to gain, to draw them unto himself. In other words, to make them listen to him. Now, I suggest to you, how do you get control of the heavenly host, one-third of the heavenly host? I suggested to you that the enemy sat down and thought how he could get control of heaven and came up with, I got to attack the leader. See, that's why, oh, my God, I got to attack the leader. In order for me to get control of heaven, I got to attack God in the minds of his heavenly bodies, in the minds of his people. I got to attack him because they think he's the greatest of greats of greatest of greats of greats. But I got to get them to see flaws and got to get them to see anything that I can do. So I'm going to use, now watch this word, I'm going to use subtlety. I'm going to drop something. Oh, God ain't all that. I'm going to drop this. He ain't got that much power. Now, if you bring it down to church here, God being the leader in heaven, the same tactics that he's using down here. So he got kicked out of heaven, and he's using those tactics that he used in heaven to try to get him. And I'm going to suggest before I come down here and tell you about these things down here, let me go back up there and what was happening in heaven. I would suggest to you that he was trying. See, the heavenly bodies were not the target. Some of y'all think you're so important, and you are. You really are important to God. But you're not the target. See, up in heaven, God had generals around him and everything else, the 420 elders, all that. He had elders around him, and they worshiped him. But they were not the target. The target was God himself. He was the leader. So the devil was trying to attack God himself. And let me tell you something else. The devil figured out how he could attack him. He was trying to hurt God. See, when you got people in your church who around you and their generals around you and leading you, and the enemy would get in and try to make them hurt you as the leader. He would try to, anything that pleases you, anything that makes you happy, he would try his best to use the tactic to get the people around you to hurt you. And he will come in the spirit, which is arrogance, and say, you want to be, you can start a line just like Dr. Johnson. See, he's been using that for years and years and eras and eras. That's why we got so many factions, because the enemy wants to divide and conquer. And so he got around God up there. Well, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't around him, but he was up in heaven trying to convince. And I suggest to you that the only way he could have controlled one-third or get control of one-third of the heavenly host is that he had to somehow get control of some people who were important to the leader. He had to get control of God, of the people who were around God, at least one of them around God defected. Yeah, he was acceptable. And I believe that the enemy had to get control of somebody who was important around God in order to lead one-third of the heavenly host away from God. I really believe that at least one or two of them decided through arrogance that they wanted to attack the leader. And the devil said, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Attacking. So he started dropping subtleties in his mind. God's been talking about you. God don't believe in you. God don't want you to be nothing. See, he drops subtleties like that because he's trying to divide and conquer. Drops all kinds of subtleties. You can't be nothing under God. But I want you to be the greatest of the great. See, he drops subtleties under like that. And he's doing that to try to hurt God, because what would hurt God? God made these folks. He made them who they are. And what would hurt God is that the people that God made would say, I'm going to leave God now and worship Satan. See, that's the tactics. That's the tactic of the enemy. Same thing he did in the wilderness out there when God was helped the children of Israel. They were in bondage for 446 years. God had brought them out of bondage. Had Pharaoh and let them go, killed the firstborn of every family. They left Egypt, got out in the wilderness. Before they left Egypt, he let them borrow all the gold of the people there in Egypt. They were filthy rich, filthy rich. And God let that be the first exchange of wealth right there with the children of Israel. They exchanged that wealth, borrowed all the money, but they got out in the wilderness. And when God was on the mountain and Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, the devil got busy and had them to melt down all the gold that God gave to them and make an idol God. And they committed spiritual adultery there in the wilderness. They were saying to this calf that they had made, oh, we worship you. You are the greatest of the great. And see, the enemy seeks to hurt the leader. I'm telling you, try to hurt God. How would you hurt God? You get the people who are the closest to God, and you get at least some of them to defect, walk away from God. Do you think God can't be hurt? You can bruise the Holy Ghost. God can be hurt. If you think God can't be hurt, look at yourself. You were made in God's own image. Can you be hurt? And the devil can, I believe that the devil had to convince some people who were close around God to defect and start worshiping him. It hurt God. It hurt him. He was trying to hurt God. And that's what the enemy does in the church. He tries to hurt the leader first. He starts with the leader. Because he started with the leader up in heaven. He started with God trying to hurt him, trying to do things that would bruise his heart. Because God loves so deeply and God loves so hard until the hurt the people around him, the hurt the heavenly bodies around him would hurt God.